Blog Talk Radio.
For calling, and actually thanks for listening. It's the Philosophy Show, and live Philosophy Show, and I'm here to take some calls if you'd like. It's episode number 104, the philosophy today. The title is The Philosophy of Being Objective, plus Who is Bernie Sanders? And so this is a once a week show. We encourage you to call in and philosophize about what's going on in the world and different whatever topic you want to touch on, we can do. And so I did have a title today. It's called The Philosophy of Being Objective and plus Who is Bernie Sanders? And so The Philosophy of Being Objective, I heard someone recently say on a news report, like, not lie, like there's no such thing as objective news. And that's kind of been a standard bearer, kind of like, you know, like doctors are supposed to quote unquote do no harm. And, you know, the CIA is like excellence and virtue and something else. And so, you know, news reporters somewhere back in the early part of the last century or something, like their motto for a lot of them was to be objective. And so what does that mean? And is there any such thing as objective news? I mean, I think, you know, there's subjective, there's objective. Subjective is from your vantage point, your point of view. So, you know, this is just my subjective opinion, you know, or my opinion and my humble opinion. Objective is, you know, if you're like a Martian looking down on Earth and trying to give an objective view, maybe, or someone who has no lopsided interests or something like that. Like I'm objectively doing that. I'm not like, you know, when, you know, tobacco corporations hired people to do studies to find out if tobacco is dangerous for you, and they hired scientists to do studies, you know, and they had some that weren't objective, you know, they were less than subjective, because some of them even, they're downright lying, and some of them even knew that the stuff is bad, and but they publicly say it's, you know, not bad or something. So they're, now, I think objective is a goal. So maybe when a news station says it's objective, of course, it's saying something that's almost impossible. But it's the goal of it. So maybe it should say this: the goal is objective news. I guess fair and balanced could be something like that. But so that's a goal we strive for, because, I mean, it's kind of like empathy. Care about yourself, or are you able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and empathize? Are we an objective broker between Israel and Palestine? You know, some could say that. Would, you know, do judges have to recuse themselves from a case if they know either the plaintiff or the defendants? You know, should people in Congress be voting on bills, or someone from the head of the EPA be someone who was regulated by that industry? Or, you know, are they going to treat people fairly and objectively and stuff like that? So I think it's a goal to try to be objective. And so usually, you know, conflicts of interest, in other words, usually people don't trust that unless that's why we have laws that say you can't do this if you've worked in that and stuff like that. That's why news organizations used to not get money from certain interests or, you know, because they're paid by their advertisers. So are they objective? I mean, it's probably true that there isn't much objective news out there, but it's kind of nice when you can tell someone's trying to be objective, where they're making the effort to hear all sides, and because that's where truth comes in. I mean, if you're living in a bubble, a subjective opinion, I mean, it's not, who cares about personalities? It's the argument and the ideas and the issues and whatever, the actual thing. And so because subjectively, I want the objective truth, because that's the only way I'm really going to naturally grow. I mean, if you're lying to yourself, you only hurt yourself and maybe those around you. So we want the truth because it's valuable, you know. I mean, people might pay others to help them, or people might pay things to make themselves more ignorant. It could be their vice, or it could be something that they just want to ignore reality, or just even try to change it, if make it go away. But, and I'm not, there could be instances and situations where that might be better. I'm not here to judge, but people also pay for truth, and it's a valuable thing. And, you know, I, in my opinion, so that's just a brief thing about being objective, and that's something I strive to be. And so I think it's possible. I mean, I think it's possible to put yourself in other people's shoes. I think it's possible to look at something from both, put yourself in both situations' shoes to fully explore the possibilities on both sides or all sides. Doesn't always have to be a duality. And, you know, I think that benefits one. And then, you know, you can kind of make your own judgments after having all the facts. So it's not prejudging. And it's knowing that also there might be more facts in the future, and knowing that you don't know everything. And knowing that many times people always thought they knew it all. But you have to work with what you have, but still realize, just like you realize you're not objective, you might realize you don't know everything, but that doesn't mean, you know, you don't live up to certain principles. And so let's talk about Bernie Sanders for a moment. Who is Bernie Sanders? That's in the title. Who is Bernie Sanders? I know who Bernie Sanders is. I don't know Bernie Sanders, but I know who he is. Do you know who Bernie Sanders is? Let me ask you, do you know who Donald Trump is? Let me list my top four candidates running for president right now, if I had to pick. And it might change, because it has changed. I mean, originally it was Ron Paul and probably Bernie Sanders. Now it's like kind of tied there, or Bernie Sanders is at the top, and then Rand Paul. I mean, and then, so those are tied for first and second. And then under that, third and fourth, I think Donald Trump and then Ben Carson, kind of the second tier ones, in my opinion, at this point. But, and everyone else that's running in Republican or Democrat Party, hardly, I don't, who's running at this time, September 17th, not really too interested. Although there is one other Republican who's not even on the debates that seemed interesting. And let me see if I can recall his name, but I think he seemed like he might be interesting. Let me see if I can find his name here. Someone interviewed him, and see if I can find it here. Okay, I'm still looking here just in case. Well, you know what? I'll have to bring that up another time. I'm not finding it right now. But Bernie Sanders, why? How can I like Rand Paul and Bernie Sanders as the top choices? I mean, well, let's look at the pros and cons. I think someone wise once said, if you're needing to make a decision, make a list of the pros and cons. Because keep in mind some of the arguments a lot of Republicans use. They're like, and libertarians, which I would consider myself a libertarian because I agree with the principle of voluntarism. So that's my philosophy. But I do think there should be good public options, including our national reserve, our money system. And I think we should have competing currencies. But enough of that. With Bernie Sanders, like people call him a socialist, well, they're the biggest hypocrites. I mean, who's getting the most money from the government? It's not the poor people. They're like nothing near all the government contracts. Everyone who gets a contract, that is socialism. Every business who's getting a leg up from an equal playing field, that's socialism. And they're using the government resource to pry out competition. So most companies, they're like on the stock market or that are buying politicians or who have lobbyists, they're socialists. You know, like AT&T, Verizon, all these big companies in the pharmaceutical industry, in the energy industry, in the military industry, the prison industry, the medical industry, the media industry, and many other ones probably as well. So I'm not talking about small, mid-sized businesses mostly. So it's not fair to call him a socialist because right immediately, the biggest socialists are the big corporations, the welfare queens, if you want to call them that. And they've been using the government for decades, much higher amounts. So number one, so it's not about socialism or nothing. The only difference between Bernie is he probably wants to cut a lot of that stuff out and not have crony capitalism and to make up for the transfer of wealth that's been happening for the last 70 years or 50 years or whatever, 40 years. He wants to increase the minimum wage. If you look at our current minimum wage, it is a lot lower than it was in the 70s or 60s if you look at it for an inflationary rate. So it's about half the amount. It's less than half the amount. I mean, people's incomes have been going down, you know, and a lot of that has to do with who gets the money first and this whole system of welfareism. I mean, it is welfare that's destroying the country, but it's not welfare to the real poor. It's welfare to the real rich. That's where the real transfer of wealth is going to. And also our bad trade deals. I think that's true. And that's another thing Bernie Sanders says. So we're going to do some overtime here since I started the show a couple minutes late, which I have never done. But today, it's all right. So you can look, you know, probably listening in the archives or anyways. But another thing about Bernie Sanders, I mean, he says, you know, he didn't vote for the Patriot Act. He didn't vote for the wars in Iraq. The Iraq war. He was wise enough not to do that. Same with Rand Paul. Donald Trump even said he didn't support the Iraq war. That's a major thing. The most of our budget goes to our overseas adventures, the military industrial complex, and the war on drugs, which that's another thing he says, and we need to reform the government system to make it more fair and treat people with respect, whether it's from law enforcement to, you know, prosecutors having quotas and so on. And, you know, he's reaching out to people across the aisle and in all spectrums of the political scene. You know, in some ways he's more conservative. He's not totally crazy about putting gun restrictions on and stuff, which I had a show last week about the Second Amendment and gun rights. And, so I think there's a lot of good things about him, and he's honest, and he's been saying the same things for, like, the last 40 years. He's against the banker bailouts, too, which I think is very, very important. Hardly anyone talks about that. So that's why I like him, and he's has a chance to win, and it's be about since, like, either Jimmy Carter or probably Kennedy that we've had someone in the office that is truly for the American people, I think, instead of some weird, you know, cabal or something. So we've really had our government working against us for the last 40 years. I mean, we're the richest country on earth, and there's just so many things. You know, he wants a public option for all, Medicare for all, instead of Obamacare. And so he wants more fair trade. So he's reasonable, and he's not going to take us to unnecessary wars. So I think, you know, that's who he is. I mean, people need to take a real good look. There's this one, if you want to hear about a good interview with him, I saw one on YouTube. I'd encourage you to look this up. It's about a 45-minute interview. And it's Bernie Sanders. And let me find the name of it. It was called... let me see. I'm going to find this one here. I'm not going to let this one go. Now, let's talk about the other three candidates while I'm at it here. Rand Paul was the second one I mentioned. You know, he's against the drug war. He's against militarism unnecessarily. I don't really like his tax policy. I think he really should go for the fair tax, the sales tax, or his. The reason I don't like it, I mean, he does say he wants to get rid of the payroll tax, which means a lot of working people would see a huge wage increase. I mean, probably about a third of the taxes that come out, or half of them, are Social Security and Medicare. And imagine if you got to keep that all 52 weeks a year. That would help a lot of working people. And he wants just a flat 15% tax on for everyone. Now, I don't know. I think that's kind of high for corporations and people. That's just me. And he wants a income tax and a sales tax, from what I've heard. I don't know if this is true, but I mean, if it was just the flat tax, that might be something, although that's how our tax code started, and it was originally only at 1%. And then later on, people added all this Christmas tree decorations to the tax code, and now it's the behemoth that it is. So I don't think going to a flat tax, you know, once you have a flat tax, 10 years later, they're going to make a deduction for this, they're going to do that to it, and it's going to end up in 100 years looking exactly what it looks like now. So, yeah, I don't, and then on top of that, I don't want two tax systems. Right now, we just have a progressive income tax, no national sales tax. He wants to have both, and one or the other. And if you could do the sales tax in a way where it doesn't hurt working and poor people, I think that's the thing to go. You know, he'll probably never pass that, so I'm not too worried about it. The issues that are real important, ending the drug war, the overseas spending in Iraq and Syria and Yemen and Libya and, you know, so on and so on, in Asia and South America and all around the world, the Ukraine and all this stuff. I think, you know, I think we could save a lot of money there. And he wants to pay down the national debt, and he's good with civil liberties. And I think, you know, when people look at the economic situation, I think civil liberties plays a big, big part of it. We don't want to militarize police. The whole reason America is a great place is because it's free. And I think he needs to speak more on that. He needs to be stronger on that. Here's an example of where Rand Paul can learn from Donald Trump. Donald Trump says, like, he's more enthusiastic. That's the thing that Rand Paul needs, enthusiasm. Like, when Rand Paul says, you know, if you want to vote for someone that wants more wars in Iraq and stuff, then vote for one of the other guys. But if you want someone who's going to be more judicious, not send people to war that you wouldn't send your own kids, then vote for me. Now, and he got a little bit of applause for that in the Republican debate today, but Donald Trump says it like this, like, you know, I guarantee we're going to have the best military. It's going to be stronger. We're going to have the most advanced technology. We're going to make sure all the troops have the best equipment. We're going to be the strongest military, and we're going to speak softly but carry a big stick. I mean, anyone who would even think about messing us would be completely wiped off the, you know, a map. I mean, but and we can do it from everywhere, air, land, sea, space. intelligence, money, etc. We're going to have the best of the best of the best of the best. It's going to be so good that we're not even going to ever need to use it. And so we're not going to go in Iraq, but we are going to have the best than the next 10 countries combined, and no one's going to want to mess with us. Now, see how Donald Trump says it compared to Iraq? He's basically almost saying the same thing, but he's saying it to a Republican crowd. And that way they can't, you know, accuse him of being weak at all. So if Rand Paul could, you know, he adds a lot more to the answer instead of just giving a one-sentence response. He gives a vision and he reassures about any things that, you know, someone might be skeptical about. And he's thought through those things, those rebuttals, and he's using it as a platform. So that's what Rand Paul can really learn from Donald Trump. He doesn't have to act like Donald Trump. He needs to speak from Donald Trump's doing this because he wants to. I really think he does. Now, Bernie Sanders could learn from Donald Trump in the sense that polls. I mean, Donald Trump can push progressive ideas like not voting for Iraq and so on and not be shy about it. So Bernie Sanders has realized that, and he should call the real socialists out, which are the corporations. And so, you know, that kind of debunks all these people accusing him of being a socialist. Now, Ben Carson, real quick, I just saw the debate. You know, I don't really like the vaccine thing, although he seemed like he kind of changed his position on that a little bit. He did say he was kind of for the minimum wage, which I'm going to address in a second for those libertarians listening. And he did say that, you know, he was against the war initially in 2003. And so I don't know how he'd be on civil liberties, which I think is important, like the Patriot Act. But, you know, saying those couple things today kind of made me like him a little bit more. And he's not a lifelong politician. Now, the thing about the minimum wage is here's what libertarians always say. And I think it's true. They say, like, if we had, like, they typically believe in open borders. You know, we should be able to travel the world as we please, kind of like in an anarchic way. But because of the way things are now, we can't realistically do it because we have a welfare state that is a magnet for people who want, you know, free assisted living and all that kind of stuff. They're a track country, not because of the freedom and the values, but because they're going to get a free check, right? So, which that's probably mostly not true, but I understand the argument, and there probably is billions of dollars going to, you know, freeloaders like that. And so it's true, and we can't just take in an unlimited amount of people that's going to overflow. You have to take in a little bit, let them assimilate over time, take in some more. I don't agree that we should only take in scientists, rocket scientists. I mean, we should take legitimate people that want freedom because we also want people to have a heart. But we should take in the scientists as well. And we should do both. We should take people of good character and good intellect and both. So, but the thing is, I can understand that. We don't have the perfect system where that would work. And that's the same argument with the minimum wage. Sure, we wouldn't need a minimum wage if we had a true free market where there wasn't crony capitalism, which probably more than 50% of the market is. So it's not a system where people are getting, and when are we going to have that free market? It's probably about 100 years away until society's evolved into some kind of Atlantis, but it's not there, you know, right away. So in the system that we're in now, you know, we need a wage, people need a living wage, I think. And anyways, it's going to create more people that have more money to spend is the main thing, and that will help more businesses in this system. Although I would strive for a better system, and I do, and you can read about that. Basically, you know, I did have a show on that, and it's called something about economics in the 21st century and beyond. Let me get the, and so that's what I'm going to close with here. The Bernie Sanders video I recommend you to watch. Here's my recommendation of the week. It's called Pints and Politics with Bernie Sanders. It's 40 minutes and 45 seconds. It's called Pints, like, you know, you're drinking a pint of Guinness or whatever, Pints and Politics with Bernie Sanders. And it's, you know, if you want to see a video, if you want to know who Bernie Sanders is, watch that. And if you want to know a system that would work in the 21st century that's neither completely left or right, that's the system I've been promoting here, check out my show that was dated April 2nd and is called Taking Economics to the Next Level in an Automated Society, dated April 2nd. That's the real solution. If you want to debate that, please give me a call. I'd love to debate someone on that and, like, iron it out. But, you know, I'm the harshest critic of my own ideas. I want to try to find flaws with it so I can improve it. So, you know, I'm not copywriting it, but I do think it's an ultimate type of economic system that's free market, etc. So I encourage you to tell me what you think about that next week, because this is a weekly show. And so those are my thoughts this week. Have a good week. You know, keep encouraging philosophy, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Until next week, thanks. Thank you.